Blog Talk Radio.
I can't hear anything.
You've tuned in to the best
Blog Talk Radio show
with Thomas Hillsway.
Welcome to the School of Thought Blog Talk Radio Show with Dr. Hannah Josue. We are so excited to have you to join us live. Now, the first thing we want to do is make sure we let everybody know, please, if you have not, it is an absolute must, sign up for the Sweep Your Brain course. October the 24th at 11 a.m., we want you to register by following Dr. Hannah Josue's Facebook page or give us a call at 214-637-1400. Now, the first thing we want to do, I want you to write this down. Please, if you have any questions or you want to make any comments, we encourage you to just press 1 on your phone. And for those of you who have not heard the latest, Dr. Josue and the Keturah Collection, an absolute fabulous line. Well, guess what? We are doing our premiere launch October the 31st. Now, if you want to know where it's going to be, I'm going to tell you. But we need you to log on to the Keturah Collection Facebook page so you can become a friend of the Keturah Collection. October the 31st from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., we're going to be at the Fire Plug Inn in South Lake. If you have not experienced the Fire Plug Inn, it is the most fabulous place for you to bring your fairy sons and daughters. Why is that? Because we're going to have our designer sweater line on premiere. It is a must-see. With that being said, we have an awesome special guest for you today. Dr. Josue has brought to us the world-famous and the world-renowned Kevin Caldwell. Just in case you did not know, he is one of America's leading personal achievement and performance experts. Now, here's what I need you to write down. Whether Dr. Caldwell is speaking or he's facilitating a mastermind group or workshop, even in his coaching with his clients and his audio members, his audience members from around the world, from America to Australia, everyone has to agree that the high energy and the refreshing and the original presentation of Pastor Kevin Caldwell exceeds everybody's expectations. Now, you want to be connected to Kevin Caldwell. Visit his Facebook page. You got to go to his website. The Kevin Caldwell. And for those of you who did not know, he is so committed to helping individuals and organizations increase their personal velocity and potential when he defines your ability and show you how to get where you're going faster, safer, and happier. Through his passion for excellence, just like Dr. Josue's, you're going to experience his innovative approach to life helps you reach your destination. And just so you know, his first passion is pursuing to be the best father he can be to his amazing gift from God, his daughter, Imani. With no further ado, the triple author. Can you go platinum writing books? I don't know, but if you could. We know he is on his way to being a best-selling author. Dr. Josue, help us welcome Pastor Kevin Caldwell.
Wow. Well, I like to personally introduce Kevin Caldwell from a different angle, not from a bio. I've been thinking about this all day,
yeah.
That you are my special friend. Oh, I don't cry. Thank you, baby. As a special, you are a special friend in a, I'm trying to find the proper words. You are one of the friends that I think, type of a friend that I believe everybody need in their lives. You don't allow me, and I was walking Keturah and I was thinking, I said, you don't allow me to stay in the same place I was yesterday. Every time we talk, every time we go out to lunch, you don't allow me to stay the same person I was last month or last year, the last time we talked. You're not allowing it. You keep pushing me to the next place every time we talk. You can really, and you are the friend that, to me, you're my rich friend. Not just money, but you are so full of wisdom and so full of enthusiasm that I want to have more friends like you. That every time I talk to you, I'm gonna come out with something. Well, I'm gonna come out with a positive mind, and I'm gonna come out enthused. I'm gonna come out wanting to produce more. I'm gonna come out. You know how sometimes you have friends, you just come out mad.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You just wish you didn't talk to them that day. You're like, they take away from you. That's what they withdraw from you. But talking to you and being your friend, you're always adding to me. You're adding, I mean, in every part, in every area of my life, in my mind, in my spirit, you're adding to me. And I'm like, you know, not comparing, but I'm like, I really want more friends like that, that every time I leave your presence, you give me something to work with. Really, and I mean that from my heart. Even this radio blog today, I like to personally dedicate it to you because you are the reason I'm here.
Oh.
You are the reason. We had lunch one day.
I remember that.
And talking to me, and something that Ruth has been trying to get me to do for so long, and I wouldn't do it. And you were just talking to me. It was just like something. You just picked up my spirit, and you reminded me what I can do. You reminded me, yes, you can. And I just started seeing stuff like, yes, I can. Yes, I can. And this is the reason why I'm here. The reason why I'm a coach is because of you.
Yes.
You remember?
Yeah,
because
remember,
of your birthday.
Yes, I remember that.
And when you told me you was going to give that gift to yourself, and it was like, oh, my God, a light came on and said, oh, my God, I could do that too.
Yes.
And we went along and became certified together through John Maxwell. You've been that type of friend from a spiritual aspect where we were connected through prayer.
Yeah.
Remember? We prayed the storm. Then we prayed hail down, okay? When we prayed, we saw smoke. We saw the angels. We saw stuff. It's like everything we've done from spiritual to the natural and to business, it has been productive.
Yeah.
And I just personally want to say thank you for being my friend today.
You're welcome.
Really.
You're welcome.
I really. And I'm going to yield the floor to you because I'm so proud of the three books that you have written. And you are such an awesome author. You are my millionaire friend, really.
I receive that.
So I want to talk about all the books today, but I just wanted to just say that I think everybody should put that type of friend. You should add, that should be part of your bucket list. We need to have that type of friend in our lives that's going to add, and that's not going to allow us to stay the same.
Right.
That's going to challenge us to become better. And I'm gonna put myself out there. I'm gonna say this: you were the one when I first moved here, and I was at 99 2000 when we met. You were the first one.
You
were
the one
that
challenged
me
to write
my emails better. Remember that? You used to send them back to me and say, read it again. Read it again. He was the one that made me write my email better, that made me more conscious about my spelling, about how I write.
Yeah.
You did that.
Yeah.
So everything that I would think about you, it's been a more of a positive thing in my life, that you increase me.
Yeah.
And you've always been there, even through tough time of my life. You took me through, you made me laugh at my tough time in my life. And you always reminded me that I was the person that you reminded me that I was somebody that I thought I was not. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah.
You reminded me of who I am on the inside, and you bring the best out of me.
Yeah.
And I just want to say thank you. That's that's the way I want to introduce Pastor Coach Kevin Caldwell.
Well, I mean, I want to say that I hope all of this was recorded so I can play it back.
It is recorded.
But I want to tell you thank you as well for allowing me to be here with everybody on
Periscope
and all your audience. I really appreciate the opportunity just to share. And I would also like to say you are my rich friend. And we could spend just hours talking about each other.
Mm-hmm.
And just the fact that you identify with me in the same capacity I identify with you, in that you add value to me. And I think in life, you don't have a lot of people who do that. There are a lot of people who take away and
mm-hmm.
detract from you,
mm-hmm.
who can manipulate you in circumstantial
mm-hmm.
situations.
Mm-hmm.
But our goal for each other
mm-hmm.
is to cause each other to increase.
Yes,
and
yes.
I think that's why we're all here
yes.
on earth, is to add value to other people.
Yes.
And I think it takes someone who isn't a zero you know, to add value to somebody,
yes,
and in a great capacity.
Yes.
So that's what you do for me.
Oh.
Time would fail me if we got into all of that. But that's not why we came.
That's right. That's right. We just needed to put that on the tape, right?
And to talk about the opportunity that I have been so gifted at in terms of God giving me a gift to create and communicate with people,
mm-hmm,
on different levels and different mediums.
Mm-hmm.
And one way is by writing books.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've done is I wrote my first book, which is called The Equation.
Mm-hmm. I have that
book.
One.
is geared on helping people reach their,
yes,
potential.
Yes.
The second one is called Failionaire. And,
mm-hmm,
Failionaire is for those who have made plenty of failures in their life,
mm-hmm,
and how to recover from it and,
mm-hmm,
never lose again.
Mm-hmm.
I believe there's a way that you can retool,
mm-hmm,
your whole experience in life to the point to where you don't see yourself as a failure as,
mm-hmm,
defined by other people. And I think life is really about a matter of perspective, and that's,
mm-hmm,
what it's all about. So
mm-hmm,
we're talking about that. And then also the other thing that we're going to talk about today is Rich Friend, Broke Friend.
Mm-hmm.
Which one are you?
Is it on?
This thing on? Okay. Are we working?
Yeah. It's on?
Is it on?
It's on?
We're good?
Okay.
I'm watching you, man. Are you good? Okay, we're good. All right, so we're talking about Rich Friend, Broke Friend. It's not on. Bring it closer. Is it working? That's not working either. We're going to get this right.
Well, I can give him that.
How about now?
No. Here you go.
Is this
yeah,
okay?
That's better. Go ahead.
Is that working?
That's working.
All right. So we're here talking about Rich Friends, Broke Friends,
mm-hmm,
and trying to figure out which one do we identify with. And one of the things that I found in my research on this book was that it's important for all of us to have the propensity to, if you're going to go to the top, go straight to the top is my motto. And by that I mean if we're going to learn how to increase in value, how to increase in worth, we got to make sure that we're doing it the right way. And so it's all about strategy, making sure that you're putting yourself in a proper perspective to become who you want to be, and it's never too late to do that. And one way that I've learned that is to make sure the first one about like being a rich friend or a broke friend,
mm-hmm,
one way to do that is to understand how to manage your finances a little better.
Because, mm-hmm,
all of us want money, yeah?
Yeah.
All of us want some money.
Yeah.
And I think it's not a matter of having money. It's a matter of what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
So the way the world is designed, it's designed to make sure that we are separated from our money. So like the 1% gets more wealthier,
mm-hmm,
than the rest of the 99%. And the reason why that is because we don't have a strategy in how we're going to manage our finances.
Mm-hmm.
And not so much, it's not a money issue, it's a mental issue.
Mm-hmm.
And from that, I mean, like one of the first points I put in the book was that you have to make sure that you pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
So the strategy for most people is that they always are focusing on what am I going to do with money? I got bills, you know, I got to give to this organization or I have to go do this and the other. And one of the ways that I found in order to increase wealth is to make sure that you pay yourself first. So, you know, we all get a paycheck from the, you know, from our respective places of employment, and the government takes their share first. After that, our mindset is either we're going to give, you know, 10% of charity to an organization, or we're going to, you know, then give to those bill collectors that keep calling your phone, or you're going to go pay that tuition or something else. And then after you do all of that, then you go have some fun with your money, or then you go and, you know, you think about saving $20.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my mindset is you reverse that order and you pay yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, in your mind, you're going to give to certain organizations. That's a given.
Mm-hmm.
However, when it comes down to making sure you increase your wealth, one way to do that is by paying yourself first. And,
mm-hmm,
then after that, you put everything else in sequential order. And the goal here is to change and shift that mentality, because I believe that poverty and wealth come from the same location. It just comes from our mentality.
Mm-hmm.
The way we think, how we think about it, what we do with it. And that's if you get the inside working first, the exterior is going to fix itself.
Mm-hmm.
I always say focus on the input and the outcome will take care of itself.
That's true. That is
so
true.
If I focus on my input and what I'm putting into it,
mm-hmm,
then I can influence the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
A little greater. I may not be able to say exactly this is what's going to happen 99.9% of the time,
mm-hmm,
but I can say about 75% of the time this might happen because I took care of the input. And a lot of people don't take care of the input, and that becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm. And something that you said when you said if we don't pay ourselves, that's why we're broke, because we're the one that's not giving ourselves anything. So we become frustrated because we're working and working, and we're not seeing ourselves producing.
Exactly.
So we've made ourselves broke, but we're working.
Mm-hmm.
So I like this, the list that you have on Broke Friends, because I really want us to pay attention to that, because I want us to see ourselves. I want us to see ourselves. Is this our mentality about Broke Friends? I really want to talk about that first.
Okay, okay. All okay. Right. We'll do the Broke Friends first.
Yes.
All
right.
Well, we all know people who are broke.
Because we all want to be rich.
Yeah.
We want to be around rich people.
Right.
But we first have to realize what makes us broke, how broke we are,
yeah,
and what type of broke friends we have. We need to kind of really put that on the table first.
Right. Yeah. All right, so one of the things that I've learned about broke people, because I've been around them a lot, and I'm not talking about anybody that I know. However, one of the things I've learned is that broke people pay other people first and think about themselves second.
Write that down. Now, that's a thought right there. Broke people pay what?
Pay other people
first
and then think about themselves second.
That's something we have to think about. Is it true?
Yes.
That we pay other people first before we think about ourselves.
It's all about conditioning. We have been conditioned.
Because I'll pay you next week after I get paid.
Right.
It's never I'll do this for me or I'm going to put more in my savings.
Right.
I'll pay you when I get paid.
Exactly. And it's not even a matter of being selfish, because I don't want anybody to think that it's about being selfish. It's about prioritizing correctly.
That's right.
And so we have been so conditioned to be consumers, to go after looking for something, the best next pair of shoes or Ferragamos or Louis Vuittons or the Gucci shoes or whatever it is that you want to get. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. Okay?
Because
I like a nice Ferragamo belt or a Gucci suit. I like that. I like it all, Gucci shoes. I'm with you. However, when it comes down to it, is that we have been conditioned by society. And I'm not going to call them the devil, right? But I will say it's very similar to how we have understood the devil in terms of his science as it relates to humanity.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hear me as I say this. So if we know that there is an individual or a person or an organization out there that has been studying humanity for 2,000 years or 5,000 years and understand that there are certain cognitive biases that cause us to want to have a certain appetite to pay for stuff or to go after for stuff,
mm-hmm.
you know, these people know how to separate us from our money. And so they have conditioned to us in terms of advertisements. I mean, by the time I left my house, to get here to this location, I probably have seen 1,000 advertisements,
mm-hmm.
you know, from just the billboards or, you know, something in somebody's car or a bumper sticker or something out there, or even just the side of a building. There's some type of advertisement out there
mm-hmm.
that's trying to separate me from my money.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're conditioned to go after other things and think about ourselves second,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I think it's important that we change that mentality.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing wrong with that unless you're this individual who's going to be selfish, think about yourself only, and then also make somebody else feel inferior, then that's where we have a problem. But that's okay, because in essence, if you're trying to help someone else, how can you help someone else when you haven't helped yourself first?
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's
you know?
So true.
And if we were to go to be spiritual, it is in the scripture that talks about that you shall be like give and it shall be given unto you, right?
Mm-hmm.
With good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over,
mm-hmm.
shall men give unto your business,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So I envision the man being somebody that I want to be, which is the distribution center.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you're giving so well, I want to be the person who has so much that I can give to you.
That's right. To be a blessing.
To be in the place of empowerment, to be in the place where I can be a stream.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so many of us want streams, but how many of us can
be a stream?
Right?
That's right.
And so it's important that we just change that mentality.
Yeah.
And being broke, you know, comes from a broken mentality. It comes from a poor conditioning where you have been immersed to think of yourself as being the second and not the first.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Any questions so far?
Yes.
Let's Julie go first. Go ahead.
Yeah. Wow.
It's not on.
Good evening. Patrick Kevin.
Yes.
My question tonight is there a percentage that you should take out of your earnings when you get it? Because everybody will make something if it's a 1%, 2%. Is there a certain percentage and not saying, per se, a certain amount?
Well, I think that it's all about what you can handle. Like, if you can do a certain percentage, like, if you're really in a position where you're changing your financial situation to the extent to where you can give more to yourself, I would first start off and see practically, can I do 5? What percentage can I constantly do? If you can do 5, I probably would say do 10. If you could do 10% every time, if you can't do 10%, then work toward getting to the 10%. And then once you hit the 10%, work toward the 15%. And then work toward the 20%. So over the long haul, you're going to be a lot better because you're putting stuff back and you're not living from paycheck to paycheck. And along with that, I would also say that you save for a reason. So many people save just to save. And then you don't have certain type of principles that you should use to be able to tap into those savings. And I would even say develop a strategy on what it would take for me to tap into my savings. And what am I saving for? And I would particularly say that you should have several different types of buckets or streams of saving in this regard, that you will have reserves that will cover all your monthly expenses for at least 6 months. And then if you can do 6 months, then go to 9 months and then go for a whole year. I would say that this reserve, I have translated it to be my FU money, right? And my FU money is translated to meaning. You can say whatever the FU means to you. however, the FU money for me, in the context of this conversation, means forget you, right? So if you've been in that situation where you had this boss that was just so unbearing, and you had this organization that was asking so much of you, mm-hmm. and they were not returning back on the value that you was adding to the company. Mm-hmm. For me, it was like, okay, man, forget you. I'm leaving because I have some cushion that I could just go home. I can pay all my bills. My mortgage would be paid. If I have an auto loan, I can pay that, and my credit cards. If I am in debt, I still can pay that and still be comfortable mm-hmm. and find another situation to partner with. And that's what I'm saying, is that you want to be able to build your resources to the extent that you have reserves just for that. And then I also would say you want to also have a reserve or saving for investing and find some at least $1,000 where you can invest into some venture on
that's
your
true.
Level, you know. And then also another savings for education. And I find that so many people do not educate themselves unless it's for a job.
That's true.
If your employer isn't trying to make you go back to work or learn a new skill, mm-hmm. you don't add value to yourself. For me, the more I learn, the more I grow, and the more I grow, the more impact I can make in my world. Mm-hmm. And that's what my goal is. My goal really isn't to make money. However, when you make money, money is a measurement of the value that you bring to a certain organization or a situation.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, it's for me to make sure that I'm adding value not only to the rest of the world, but I want to add value to me. I want to be valuable. I want to be able to have a smart conversation sitting in any type of setting. I don't want to always be defined as a person who just knows the Lord and I love
exactly.
him. And that's all we can talk about.
Exactly.
Man, we can go in with the best of them. From the Baptist to the Pentecostal and even to the Catholic, we can have a grand conversation. But is that all of you? For me, I want to be able to talk about so many different things that when I get into a different venue, I'm not that person who has this broke mentality that I'm only thinking about, I got bills, I got to go home, or how I'm going to make some money. I want to sit down practically to have a conversation about everything
mm-hmm.
and not just one thing. So just consider, you know, in the midst of you developing, you know, these different buckets or streams, you also want to add value by way of making sure you have an educational fund where you can go to conferences, you can buy books. And on that note, I'm actually reading a book a week myself. I'm getting to the point to where I can do more than that. But I'm reading one book a week, and that's my goal, is every year to at least read 52 books. Then next year I'm going to double that. So I'm going to try to read 2 books a week. Next year. And so that's my goal, is to continue to keep going and moving forward to the extent that I can add value to everybody I come in contact with. And I can be an interesting person, because I think so.
I think so, too. You had a question. I know two other questions.
I do. As a matter of fact, you really did touch on one of my questions that I wanted you to elaborate on.
Okay.
And that was pay myself first versus saving. But then you begin to elaborate about having different buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And for those of us who might struggle with, you know, pay yourself versus saving, can you help fix that? And
yes.
Can you jump in on, you made a statement, I wrote it down because I want you to elaborate on that too.
Okay.
Take care of the input.
Yes.
I'm like, I don't know what that means, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Oh, it's okay. It's fine. We'll work on your first question was talking about paying yourself first and saving. In fact, they're actually the same thing where you're not just saving money. And you could do this by automatically, you know, getting things drafted into your account. And that's a way of paying yourself first. For me, it's like I look at my value. So let's say, for instance, I'm getting the net that I'm getting back out of my check is like, let's say, $3,000. What I would do, I probably would go ahead and save $1,000, or if I can, save $1,500 of that. That's for me paying myself first. And then with the rest of that, I would, you know, strategize on what I need to do in terms of sequential order. If I'm giving to a charity organization or you're giving tithes or 10%, you know, out of that next 15%, or you're going to go ahead and pay your bills out of that whole entire thing. So you begin to develop it that way. So paying yourself first and savings would be synonymous and would be considered to be the exact same thing.
Is that okay. Where my investing money is going to come from, too? Is in that category?
Yes, it is. Oh, okay. Yeah, so you diversify how you're going to split up
okay.
that pay yourself first.
All right.
Yeah, and you just monitor it. I would also say set goals for yourself. Like if you have a goal of, I don't know, but I like seeing zeros and commas in my bank account. I do. I just do. I like seeing zeros and commas, you know. I don't like – well, let me say commas. I like to see commas, not just zeros, because commas are great. You know you're doing something when you got more than one comma.
Okay.
So that's the goal. So just have set goals for yourself and just challenge yourself. You know, it's somewhat, you know, like – almost like a game in essence, but you just want to challenge yourself to grow and to be better and look at it from that standpoint. The other thing is when you take care and focus on the input would be what am I doing now to make myself better? My mentor, John Maxwell, says that your success comes from your daily schedule, and it's similar to that. What are you doing to be successful? All of us want success. We have a desire for it. We want to make sure that we are successful in the end, and we all want it. But how do we get there? Sometimes we don't strategize. We don't develop a plan. We don't do the things we need to do in order to do it. We sit back and we have hope, and hope is great. But hope without action is nothing. It's a nightmare. It's a frustration. It's like a woman pregnant for 12 months, and she's ready to deliver, but just can't because she doesn't have the energy to push.
Wow.
You know, you want to be able to have the wherewithal and the strength to be successful. And I find that success comes from follow-through.
Mm.
Simplistic.
I should say that again.
But it's true. Success comes from follow-through. And I learned this principle. I was learning how to bowl from one of my good friends, Daryl Caldwell, and he was phenomenal. And you know how you get the curve on the ball and everything. Mm-hmm. And so he was saying, Kevin, you know, it's not about you throwing it hard. I was chunking the thing down there, right? but he says it's all about your follow-through. And it glides so smoothly. And then when I learned that, I translated that to basketball. Like, it's not about you being, you know, strong, it's all about your technique and your follow-through. And even Serena Williams, she's winning all these championships. It's all about her follow-through with her serve, you know. And it's not just that, but it translates over to the people who are successful in business. It's all about their follow-through. Like, like if we were to go to become biblical about it, the race isn't given to the swift or nor to the strong, but to those who follow through. Endure is the word, but
right.
Those who follow through. Mm-hmm. And so that's where it comes from. It's all grounded there. And so it's all about making sure you take care of the strategy on the beginning point, start and do what's necessary. And as you do what's necessary and you take on multiple steps that you plan out to do, that you can influence the outcome by making sure every time I get paid, regardless of how I feel, so it's not an emotional thing, I'm going to put back $1,000 or I'm going to put back $500.
or I'm going to make sure that I practically do this every time. Or if I have a goal of getting out of debt and increasing my credit score, I'm going to do what's necessary. I'm going to write necessary letters to the debtors and tell them I dispute this account, or I'm going to hire a credit coach to help me get out of this situation. I'm going to follow through. If I'm going to have the greatest muscles and be as strong as I want to be, I'm going to go to the gym every week, every three times a week or five times a week, however long it takes to lose this weight, I'm going to follow through. If I'm going to lose weight by just eating smaller portions, I'm going to follow through. And that's where it all comes
like
from.
Consistency.
You know? It's consistency. And that's where your input comes from.
Okay.
And if you take care of the input on the front end, mm-hmm. the back end will take care of itself.
I want to add to even when you said sometime you could put some money away to pay yourself. If you don't have 500, if you don't have 100, but at least you could create the habit by starting with $5, $10,
right.
and increase it $20.
Right.
But at least start with something and not be discouraged and say, well, I can't save 100. You could save 5. You could save something to start that consistency and start that habit. I think that's a beautiful idea.
It is.
Yes, sir. You had a question.
Okay. How you doing, Kevin?
Hey, how you doing?
All right. When it comes to saving and we start to build this little money and other people seem to want that money that you build, so shouldn't there be some kind of discipline or practice put in for yourself? Because other people, in my thinking, other people's emergency is not my emergency.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
I say the same thing.
You know,
exactly.
Family
of that.
Want to access stuff, and just because you see it, then if two people is not on the same page or the same accord, that well, we can give this to so and so. No, we can't because we haven't reached that 6 month nest egg yet.
Right.
Aside for our bills.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't have $10 a year to. You know.
Exactly. Exactly. No, I agree with you. One of the things that I would encourage is that if you have a joint account, that what should take place is that you guys agree on what are going to be the reasons why we tap into this account. So create like a an actual maybe 3-point agreement saying that, okay, the reason why we're going to tap into this fund would be for XYZ, you know, it has to be a specific emergency with our kids or with our parents. That is something that is that's pressing right now, or whatever you deem necessary that would cause you to tap into this. But I definitely would say create some principles, because otherwise, you know, yeah, if someone knows you have money, they're gonna pull on your heartstrings and say, okay, can you help a brother out? And I'm like, I just don't have it. I'm sorry. That's that broke friend. Broke friend always coming at begging for money, right? Yeah, that's what they do, right? So it's important that you have, like, certain parameters set up for yourself and also for everyone else, and have the discipline to follow through to say no. It's the greatest word ever invented in mankind. No, I can't help you. I'm sorry, but we can pray or we can talk about strategies, because I think people's problem isn't really capital.
Mm-hmm.
It's just discipline.
That's true.
And if you had discipline, you wouldn't be in a situation, because if I give you $1,000 to pay your rent and you don't have it this month.
Exactly. What you gonna
what
do
are you
going to
do next month?
Yeah.
And if you say you're going to pay me back, you're broke.
Exactly.
I don't feel comfortable giving you $1,000 and I don't know how I'm going to get my money back.
Exactly.
You know. And these are the kind of people, you know, who go
and
out and get.
And friends feel like you're wrong because you need to help them.
Right.
And here's what I found. I want to go on with the next chapter of your book. But here's what I found out, the difference coming from the broke mentality and listening to people that would say the rich friends or the rich millionaires would say, like, let's say that they'll say, well, this should be able to give me this money, or this should be able to help us. They're so rich, why they can't help us? The mentality, they don't understand that the mentality is, I don't want to help you, because if I help you this month, who's going to help you next month? You're
right.
going to depend on me again.
Right.
So I'd rather help you to learn how to fish, as the old people said, instead of keep giving you fish.
Right.
I could understand why rich or millionaire doesn't give their money out, but they give it to a charity.
Right.
Because they'd rather give it to a program that's going to be disciplined to give it to the right people when.
Right.
Instead of going around and saying, I'm going to give you money, I'm going to give you money. That's not really helping you.
Right.
That's just a temporary satisfaction.
It
and
is.
I see, I've noticed that the difference in even investors. Why will investors invest in your company if they can't see, they could get the money back.
Right.
They're looking at your mindset. They're listening to what you're saying about your business. Said, no, I can't invest in you. And you're like, well, now, I'm trying all my, and I've seen that in Shark Tank too.
Right.
Trying all my best, and I'm getting all emotional. It's not an emotional thing. It's the fact that that type of mindset, I want to be able to see consciously, how are you going to pay me back?
Right. Absolutely.
You know, from a Jewish perspective, you know, I've taught that it's from a Jewish perspective, that if we give you money, it's saying that we don't believe you can pay it back.
Right.
If we lend you the money, that's because we believe that
you
can't pay it back.
And you know what? You touched on something real great there, because for me, if I am giving somebody some money, I already just count it up that it's being like never, it's never going to
It's not coming back.
I'm not going to expect it from you, because I know that if you're in a tough time, a tough situation, mm-hmm. you probably don't have a strategy on how you're going to pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean everybody should come to me and ask me for some money, because you're not going to get it. However, if I do relinquish it, you know, I know that you're not really gonna give it back to
mm-hmm.
me, because you don't. I know the kind of character I'm dealing with,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes the people who say I'm gonna, you know, pay you back, I can trust that they can say that, but sometimes that just it does not happen.
It does not happen.
The other thing is that you're creating a cycle of dependency.
Yes.
Which
yes.
is even worse,
yes.
because you're giving them psychologically or physiologically rather, there is hormones that are released into the brain, and that puts an impression on them
mm-hmm.
to say, and they get gratified from you meeting their needs.
Yes.
And so they're going to come back again because you met my need last time,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to create that kind of cycle.
Anybody remember what part of the brain that is? What is it? What is it? Amygdala? No, that's not it. Look, then you just failed your test. What did you say?
Hypothalamus.
Very good.
Yeah.
Close, but very good.
But it happens. You know, it happens. And you create that cycle, and it's unhealthy. It's unhealthy.
It's very unhealthy. I thought somebody had a question before going to the next chapter.
Well, there is something that I do want to say. A few years ago, I had a friend to say to me, as a matter of fact, a friend of mine made way more money than I did. And one time I saw someone ask my friend for some money. And my friend's response was, I'm sorry, I didn't budget for that, so I don't have it to give.
Great answer.
So after the other person left, I said to my friend, I said, so how is it that you know you have the money and you feel comfortable saying that to him? She said, because my mother taught me discipline.
That's it.
And she said, if you tell me that you think you might have an urgency for a need,
right.
I can prepare and budget for that.
Right.
So when I saw your question was, how are your friends influencing your money? I had to stop and think about it. That is the only friend that I had who said to me, and I took it inwardly, and I said to myself, well, at the time I wasn't working. I said, but gosh, when I start working, I'm going to use that. Because when people know you have increased
right.
And excess beyond what your need is,
right.
they feel that we should feel obligated to give them out of our excess.
Right.
But the truth is, I wasn't saving for me, so I didn't have excess at that time.
Wow.
So I wanted to say thank you, because I knew what she said she did. I just didn't have a strategy until you said, pay yourself first.
Right.
And out of pay myself first is pay myself first in saving and investing. Just take a portion
right.
and put it in a place where it'll yield a return for me.
Absolutely.
So I wanted to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
Before you said that, something that you said, if you don't mind me saying that, you said that I wish I would have invested my money instead of giving my money away.
Mm.
And sometimes that's what we've done. You'll never get it back, but if you invest, you know that money. It's like going to the bank. You know you're going to get it back. So sometimes we have to be aware that we're helping people instead of investing. I don't want people to give me money.
Right.
Invest in my company, because I know my company will succeed. You're going to get your money back.
Absolutely.
So that's something that we have to keep that in mind, to stop giving money away. Invest your money and stop giving
right.
stuff away.
Right.
But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Before we move into that next statement, we want to go into a commercial real quick and give Pastor Caldwell, Coach Caldwell, an opportunity to wet his little whistle. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we're going to be right back
Thank
after this commercial.
www.pfyi.org. That's www.pfyi.org. Now, it looks like here you can call and get another copy at 214-637-1400. That's 214-637-1400. Gotta go. Jack.
Jack. Jack! Come back.
You've tuned in to the best
Blog Talk Radio Show
with Tommy Hillsway.
We are so excited to have you with us. We want to welcome you back to the School of Thought Blog Talk Radio Show with Dr. Hannah Josue and our special guest today. We say special guest. He's special to us, and not just because he's here. He's Uncle Pastor Kevin. Pastor Kevin, he is everything. He's a personal coach, a life coach, a professional motivator. He's an inspiration just looking at his smiling face. We have in the house today Kevin Caldwell as our special guest with Dr. Hannah Josue.
Well, thank you. We're going to finish our conversation about this awesome coach, life coach, author, speaker, wonderful friend of mine, Pastor Coach Caldwell. We had a question on the table. What was the question on the table?
We want to remind you to press 1 on your phone if you'd like to have any comments. We'll be able to hear you and see you and let you join the show live.
Well, I kind of like had a compliment, actually a comment, because this particular subject tonight is so thought-provoking. It made me realize that I have because I'm in the transition of moving and getting a new place and, you know, making some new decisions, it causes me to realize that I have the choice to make great decisions and cause myself to be more prosperous in what I pay myself,
right,
or keep up with the Joneses, look good,
right,
and still be broke.
Right, yeah.
So it makes so much sense, and I'm like, and when I think about all of the decisions that I have made before, I'm like, I've been giving my money to people, and some of the stuff that I give my money to, I don't even own it.
Oh, wow. Wow. Mm. Yeah.
It's like I have, like my home, like, I love nice things, so like when I get apartments or anything, I want to get the best.
Right.
But then a lot of times, I didn't think about this tonight. You're paying that money, and it's not even yours.
Yeah.
You said something to me about the car when you got the car. Do you want to share that?
Oh yeah, I was actually driving my car, my Infiniti. You know, I have to say it like that because it was my car. I love that car. But my mentor, Dr. Josue, gave me some advice. It was valid, but it kind of hurt. She was telling me, you know, why don't you get a different car, something that's, you know, less, you know, that's more affordable, that's better on gas, so that you can save some money. So I said, okay. And when I went to go look at cars, they were showing me like Nissan. I said, no, this is coming now. I can't come down. So, you know, but I ended up actually following the instructions. I actually got a car that wasn't even out on the market, and they just got them on the market. And it's much more sportier, saved more gas, and it allowed me to also even do a little sponsorship into the radio blog, and that added more blessings, and I've seen more blessings just by being obedient. And it's just like I can see the window just flying open out of being obedient and just coming down to something.
Just common sense.
Right.
And what he said is something that I have seen, grew up with. I saw my friends doing it. My very good friends, remember I told you about him, that he passed now, him and a lot of other friends, they used to get apartment cars real nice. And then 6 months later, I'm like, what happened to the car? It's repoed. And it happened over and over and over again because we're looking at ourselves, I deserve better. But I think this way. I deserve to keep what I get. I don't deserve for it to get the best. In other words, I skip steps,
right,
and then I lose it. I'd rather take my time, save my money, get what I can. I've always believed in paying for my cars and my houses in cash.
Right, right, right.
I've always believed that.
Right,
and when I bought my first condo was cash and furniture was cash, I've always believed that if I can't afford it, I'm not going to buy it.
Right, right.
So that mentality, I've watched my friends lose a lot of things because everybody wanted to show, as you said, the Joneses, look what I have. Everybody get ashamed of what they have because they don't want to start from the bottom. So I just want to mention that.
Yeah. If I can, as we're going to the next segment, I think she have a question.
You had a question.
More on the comment when you were saying about the investment, and when you said that you sleep and think about how you're going to make money and how you're going to invest, and I've been doing that lately because I've been thinking about what type of investments I'm going to do better this year, instead of, you know,
giving money away.
My will, giving money away, just giving it away. But this year, I'm planning on learning how, through my mentor, how to make good investments where I can see my money.
Right.
We'll
yeah, there we go. Get those commas. Yeah, I want to be a part of the comma club.
Okay.
As we're transitioning, I wanted to say that also that one of the things that we have to also be cognizant of these principles about, you know, what broke people do, but also be cognizant about your surroundings as well, because the people that we are connected with and those who are our friends, you're going to see your future by the people you're connected with. Your net worth is not going to be greater than your network. And if your network is small or has a small-minded propensity, then your net worth can't really grow. It goes back to the principle about the Jewish principle about harvest time.
Mm-hmm.
Like during the harvest time, the reason why some people didn't have as much or brought much in their harvest, what they would do practically, if my neighbor needed some because their harvest was really poor, then I would give out of what I have to bring them up to my level.
Mm-hmm.
Because that they did the work, it's just their harvest didn't come in properly.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that is that destabilization will happen. If we allow her to have a bad crop, and then next season she'll have a bad crop, and she'll also have a bad crop, we have some inequality going on, and destabilization will happen in the whole entire community. And that's what's important, is that we don't allow that to happen.
Yeah.
And so in some situations, I may need to bring you up to my level until you're able to stay there and continue to keep it moving forward. So we want to make sure that all the people that we're connected with, that we have the same kind of propensity, that we're all on the same level, and that we're not retracting, but all of us are progressing, going toward the same goal. The scripture says, how can two walk together, say they agree, unless they have the same mindset, the same purpose, saying the same exact same thing, going in the same direction. And we all need to make sure that we're doing that with our friends, you know. And if your friends aren't going, this is not an emotional thing. This is a life thing here. You know, and I know that we have emotional connections with our friends, but this is really vital for you to make sure that you surround yourself with the proper people who are going to make you grow and not remain the same.
That is so important. That is so important, and I believe I put it on the post that you have both friends that withdraw and suck energy and life out of you. not only money, but your energy, everything I want from you. But when it's time for them to give back, they have nothing to give back. So we do have to be conscious about what type of, that's why I'm so glad I have a friend like you. Really, honestly,
yeah,
and
yeah.
Because I know I could always get some type of energy, like your energy sparkle my energy.
Yeah.
So you don't walk away feeling like I've took everything away from you, but you walk in a way like you gave a deposit,
right,
that you know I'm going to do something with this deposit.
Right, and also I feel like I've walked away with something as well. Like,
so wonderful.
I think it's beneficial to have,
yeah,
those type of relationships.
And we have to have those type of relationships. I've always said whenever my relationship with my mentees is unbalanced, I tell them, I said, I'm giving and giving. I'm not getting nothing back from you.
Right,
and
right,
it's not just
right,
talking about money. But it's also talking about I need to see productivity from your life.
Exactly.
Because if I added seed, if I added teaching, if I added instruction, if I added coaching, whatever that is, I need to see something because that's what's going to make me rich.
Right.
To see you produce. So sometimes our relationship is not balanced. It's like, you know, I got to bring you to the table. Something's
exactly
wrong. You taking and taking and you doing nothing with it.
Right.
So I got to stop giving.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
I agree.
If you had, oh, go ahead. You have one question.
I just had a comment, a statement.
Okay.
But when you were saying to pay yourself first, and I'm sitting here thinking, and that seed is just growing as I'm sitting here, and I was thinking, if I'm going to pay myself first, that means when I go to work, that I'm not working for my car, I'm not working for my house, I'm not working for the things around me, so I'm going to work and say, this whole check is going to be going anyway,
right,
why put my all into it?
Exactly.
But now that you said that and things are growing inside of me, my boss and the people that's over me is going to have a better employee,
right,
because now I'm saying, good, I'm going to pay myself first. So I'm putting it in the bank. My account has a name to it now,
right,
whatever I want to do. So now I have something
to work
more like bringing more life and life more abundantly.
Yes.
Hitting that second
life. Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, I also have redefined that. I don't say that I am working for anybody. I'm working for myself. I have a partnership with whatever company I'm working at, and we have an agreement that I put in work and you,
yeah,
pay me back.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not so much I have a job thing. For me, it's like work, we have a partnership. I have taken it out of my vocabulary to say I have a job. I have a partnership. And the partnership agreement that we have is that I'll do X, Y, Z, and the agreement I have is you're going to pay me for doing that. And so for me, we're all self-employed. And until you see yourself like that, then you'll be able to see yourself going to work with a lot of more vitality, excitement,
sure,
not dredging to go to work and dealing with these people that get on your nerves. You know, when you get to the point to where you're focused on that and you're focused on making sure that you have that kind of mentality, you can then be a more productive and you can be more efficient at your work and be more creative. And then because of your creativity and your efficiency, then promotion doesn't come from the east or the west. He's going to give you that promotion, right? And so you're going to get an increase. You're going to be more exposed. You're going to be a more productive individual, and your value and your worth goes over the top more so than anybody else because their mentality is, I have a job. But your mentality is, I'm self-employed, I'm working for myself, and I'm going to get mine.
I like that.
Yeah.
I have a question to add to changing your mentality to say, I'm working for myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we sit up and we have budgets and plans where, okay, X number of dollars is going here, and X number of dollars I need over here, you know, in this area. So we need to determine, I need to work some overtime because I still have something. Some things that need to be taken care of.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you get out of that, trying to budget that overtime in there to take care of
it? I would say don't budget overtime in there unless you have the opportunity to do it. I always am of the mindset about giving yourself a raise without having to go back to your employer by eliminating the debt you have.
Okay.
If I can eliminate the debt I have, I immediately have added to myself.
That was good.
You know, so if there's a credit card that I can eliminate, I eliminate that debt.
If there's a bill that I can eliminate or not have to have cable, I can watch on YouTube when it comes on, or go to somebody else's house and watch it, or go to, you know, somewhere else. So for me, it's like finding ways. It's very practical. It's just finding ways on how I can eliminate debt. And the moment I eliminate debt, I immediately give myself a raise.
I love that.
So I'm not taking away from my income anymore. I'm focusing on, you know, doing the right thing. It's all about mentality. That's why I said that, you know, poverty and wealth come from the same exact place. It comes from your mentality, whether you have a strategy or you don't. And some people who make $1 million, they're not a millionaire sometimes because they can spend $1.5 million. If I make $1 million and I spend $1.5 million, I'm half a million in your broke friend, you know. And many people are that way because they're trying to keep up with everybody else and so forth. And some people don't realize that the kind of hustle it takes to be a millionaire, the work it takes to be a millionaire,
right,
the mindset to take to be a millionaire, the consistency it takes to be a millionaire. It's a lot of work. And everybody wants to be a millionaire, but not everybody wants to put the
work
in.
That's right.
Like a millionaire. You know, you have a millionaire mindset, but you have an $8 and a half work ethic.
Okay.
You know, and you can't get there that way. You got to be on call. You got to be focused, and you got to have precision, and you have to have follow through. If you don't have it, then you won't be able to get it. You'll get some. You'll get close to it, and most people are satisfied with getting close. I'm not. And you know, the word mediocre. We've talked about this before, but the word mediocre literally etymologically means halfway up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are satisfied being in the middle. I don't want to be halfway up the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be that person who goes to the mountain and see a different view than everybody else sees.
That's right.
Only because I put in the work. I put in the endurance.
Yes.
I didn't give up. And I made sure I was ready and had the right resources to get to my end goal. And most people are not prepared that way.
I really recommend everybody to get this book because this is awesome stuff that really it's practical stuff. It's not stuff that's not out of our reach. It's practical things we didn't think about. Just what you just said, to give yourself a raise by paying off a bill. It's like, that's right, because that's $150, $200 you were paying per month that now it's a raise because you paid that off.
Right, right.
Just practical stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
What was the other part about learn money as a broke friend? Learn money. I should put on my glasses.
Learn money
tips for middle class parents. Wow. Deal with that one.
Yeah, so that was really an eye-opening challenge when I saw that. Because, you know, most of us come from middle class families.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I realized that is the mentality of a broke person, is that they learn their money tips from middle-class parents.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to be rich or wealthy, it's not that our parents didn't mean well. It's just that they didn't get over the hump.
That's right.
So the best that they could teach me is how to be best in the middle class.
That's right.
Because once you get over that hump and understand what it is to truly be a millionaire and the tips it takes and the time and all the different things on how to maintain your millionaire status, it's far different from, you know, go to work, get a good job kind of thing. That's not it. When you're a millionaire, your mindset isn't go to work, get a good job. Your mindset is, what company can I buy today?
That's right.
You know, who can I hire to do this work for me to get a better return on my investment?
That's right.
So it's a broader scale. It's a different type of mentality. And what are you going to do with the $1 million when you get it?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of people who become lottery winners. They win the lottery. And
yes,
in 3 years, they're back broke in the same situation. Why? Because they never learn how to manage the $1 million. You know, so it's important for us to realize, like, on the other side of that, like the other chapter that I have, is that if you're going to be a rich friend has a millionaire mentor. So all of us want to be, but we don't go to the person who is.
That's right.
It's just simple. If you want to get there, you got to go straight to the top.
That's right.
And so for me, it's like if you're going to be find a millionaire who's open to giving you some tips.
That's right.
If you can't meet face-to-face, find a book that's written by me.
That is right.
Or get on YouTube and watch what the millionaire says and so forth. I mean, that's where the education part comes in. So if you can't physically be face-to-face with the millionaire,
mm-hmm,
then find one.
Exactly.
But the best you can get to, if you're going to be if you want to make this up, but you're getting your tips from a middle-class person, they're not equipped
with telling you how to get over the hump.
What you said, I want to ask everybody that question. What Pastor Kevin said, what does that saying to you about learn? He said, don't learn money tips from middle-class parents. Because what you learn is what you do. What is that saying to you from the Sweep Your Brain glass?
Mm.
What does that say? Change your program from your unconscious mind.
That's great, because that's all
that's
it is.
What it is.
It is a programming. It is a programming.
Upgrade.
It is a programming, because all of us have it's conditioned. It's psychological immersion for us to be consumers and not to think of ourselves as investors.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
We're thinking, oh, if I'm going to invest, I got to have $1 million to invest, or I have to have a certain amount of money. But you can invest $100.
Exactly.
Easy.
Exactly.
Everything
exactly.
you spend should be an investment.
Even in my the two businesses that I have, the Couture Collection and Yafa, I don't say I have staff anymore. That was ministry. I have business partners.
Yes.
That's what they are. You have to have a mindset. You are my business partner. And I found that's a hard task. To change the mindset from church, because people are so used to being a staff. What you want me to do?
Right.
I'm like, no, I need your creative mind to flow.
Yeah.
No, just tell me what you want me to do. And I found that it's been a challenge for me to change that mindset. And we have a joke about, do you mind we share the joke? Where Ruth came up with the revelation that Angela, that's one of my business partners in Couture Collection, that I told her the other day that she made me so proud. I was like, you're finally getting into that creative mind. You're finally speaking instead of sitting back and saying whatever you said and later on say, well, I thought you meant. No, we get in front of the people. I need you to speak as well as I do. Speak if you see something. And she did that, and we said she had like a wisdom wave moment that comes every hour, every 30 minutes. And we have to catch that every 30 minutes. But I was telling her that I was so proud because I want to be able to stand up with my partner to go to a business to get the best I can from the business, not somebody that works for me, that's dragging along, talking about what you want me to do, what you want
right,
me to do this.
Right.
I can't stand that type of mentality. That's too poor.
Right.
Because you're only doing that waiting for your next paycheck.
Right.
But if you're standing up as a partner, you're looking for the next $1 million loan with me.
Right.
You know
exactly.
What I'm
saying? So one of the things to add to what you're saying is that as you reprogram what you're thinking, it's important that you, as an example, like, and nothing against, he's the greatest. I love him. Michael Jordan is a fantastic has been a fantastic basketball player, right? So his shoes is grossing $2 billion a year.
Wow.
He's a billionaire. God bless him. However, it's not many, you know, millionaires standing in line overnight to get those shoes.
Wow.
When I go get them, they're sold out. So I don't stand in line. So it's like the middle-class person who works, you know, the part-time student works, you know, take that entire paycheck and give $250 to Michael Jordan or to the Jordan brand,
yes.
And they're wanting. I mean, they get gratification by the fact that they have the nicest wear on, and nothing against that because I own a pair of Jordans, several pair of them. But when it comes down to it, you have to realize
you have to afford. You have to be able to afford to do that.
Yeah, but in reverse order, here's the thing. I have a friend whose father is a millionaire. He lives in Seattle. And we were talking when I was up visiting with him, and he says, Kevin, my father still goes buys jeans from Costco. Because his mindset isn't really about looking to be wealthy. His mindset is focused on being wealthy and making sure that he's focusing on where he's going to put his money and not so much put his money in somebody else's pocket who he doesn't do business with. So it would be a different thing if I owned a pair of, like, you know, Jordans, and I also had 100 shares of Jordan brand stocks.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely different.
Yeah.
Because if I go to McDonald's and I have 100 shares of McDonald's, I'm not just paying, you know, whoever's over McDonald's, who the CEO is. I'm also paying myself as a shareholder. So the mentality changes.
Mm-hmm.
So if I go buy some Colgate toothpaste because I have, you know, some stock in that company, I'm not just paying them and buying it. It's not an even trade. I'm also paying myself
exactly.
at the same exact same
and
time.
And you're right, because you and I had that several conversation about that we like to look rich.
Right.
And then by
right.
the time we drive to our house and the house, you know, give
yeah.
us a different story.
Yeah.
And millionaire doesn't look like millionaire. when you meet a millionaire, they have jeans on, they have they don't look like, they don't even drive a car.
No, not at all. You couldn't tell.
I met a lot of them in Florida. You're like, I'm like, you're a millionaire? You couldn't tell.
I saw Mark Cuban the other day, and the guy is just in a T-shirt.
T-shirt and jeans.
And he's worth $3 billion. $3 billion. He owns all this stuff, and he can fly anywhere in the world, but he's wearing just some jeans and a T-shirt.
Exactly.
Now, they might, he might pay $200 for a T-shirt. I don't know. It looks
like
a regular
T-shirt. He don't like to wear that.
You know, and some jeans. But I'm saying the mentality is different because the middle-class person has been focused on being conditioned to look like they have wealth and not have it.
And not have it. And that's what we need to kind of change our mindset.
It. And it's
don't
all about
looking like Johnny said. It's like you're looking like you want everybody to say, I'm looking good, I'm downgrading.
Right.
But actually, you're really not. To people like the different mindset of people that really have wisdom and know better, you're not really looking smart. Because we could tell you're not being wise about what you're doing.
Right.
So we have to change that mentality of stop trying to look like you have something when you don't. It's best to have it in the bank. It's best to have it someplace that's gonna be that's gonna bring you productivity later in life, and stop that temporary look.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. It's called gratification. So some people don't have delayed gratification.
Yes.
So the delayed gratification comes in when you're able to delay the moment where you're gonna be satisfied in something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather have the discipline now and then have the payoff later. Whereas some people just can't resist. You know, and you can see when they can't resist. It's like a person who has this addictive mentality for like sugar products or like a Snicker or chocolate or whatever it is, and they just cannot resist. And so they're at 3 o'clock in the morning, they're in the kitchen eating candy or something chocolate. Whereas if you have discipline with yourself and your appetite, you won't be that person who is not meeting your weight goal.
Mm-hmm.
Some people just can't resist when the newest shoe come out.
Exactly.
They can't resist when the newest video game comes out.
Oh.
They just can't resist when the newest anything comes out.
Yeah.
You know, and when it comes down to that, that is a moment of wealth distribution. And wealth distribution happens every day, of course, but most of the time it happens, the greatest time it's happened is when people are getting paid, because they're getting paid, and then not only are you getting paid, but you're beginning to pay somebody else, and immediately money leaves your hand as quickly as you get it on that Friday or the 1st and 15th or the 15th and last day of the month or every week or whenever you get paid, you're redistributing wealth to somebody else. And I'd much rather retain it myself as opposed to give it to someone else.
Well, while you were talking, I remember coming to your question. When I was a loan officer, I remember they laughed at me because I was making so much money, but I was driving one of those, you know, those old police cars, four doors.
Oh, yeah.
And I had a cell phone that was attached to the car. And they were laughing at me, all the loan officers. And when the market crashed kind of, my condo was paid for.
Yeah.
My furniture was paid for.
Yeah.
And I watched their Jag and Mercedes just drive by, right? And they lose their house, and I'm sitting there. My house is paid in my car.
It's paid
that you laughed about.
Right.
And I still had my stuff.
Yeah.
And my next house was already paid. And I was like, now, this is smart. This is a smart way to live.
Yes.
So I just wanted to mention that. You had a question.
Yes.
When you're talking about how you're living, you know, what you're trying to flash, show people you got more than what you got. What I've observed with rich people is that, you know, people with money, they don't go around telling people about how much they got.
That's true.
But a person with no money, they get just a little bit, then they always want to try to make sure you know that they got something, you know.
That's true. That's
so, I mean, I'm comfortable. I don't have anything, but I'm comfortable with my little nothing working to get something.
Yeah.
I would like to take this opportunity to remind our audience to please purchase Mr. Kevin Caldwell's book. All of the books are available on Amazon.com. So we want you to make sure you have all three in your collection, The Equation, which is How to Reach Your Potential and Be Your Best Every Day. His second book is Rich Friends, Broke Friends. How are your friends influencing your money? And the third one is Failionaire. Sound like you had a conversation with Mr. Brown. He had a Failionaire. He has a book called Failionaire.
how to recover from failure and never lose again. Just that title alone, Dr. Josue and Mr. Caldwell, that title alone says an awful lot, because that says everything in me will have to change. Failure, how to recover from failure and never lose again. Because we run into things and we stumble and we think, oh, I failed. But the truth is, did I really fail? Was it just a setback? Or did I learn another way that this don't work?
Yeah.
So I want to encourage everyone to please do that. And to also let everyone online listening that if you would like Mr. Caldwell to speak at your ministry with your employees or even for a one-on-one coaching consultation, please visit his website at the Kevin Caldwell, not A, thekevincaldwell.com. You will not be disappointed. From America to Australia, they all say he is the best.
He is Kevin Caldwell.
I like that.
I like for you to touch on that other subject of broke friends about anticipating their tax refund. That's, you know, that's big.
Oh, you know, everybody anticipates a tax refund.
Mm-hmm.
That's evidence in here, right? Even on Periscope, she said yes. So everybody anticipates that. So what that, you know what that really means? That means the government took out too much money during the year.
Yeah.
Than they should have. And for me, when I learned about that or looked at it from a different perspective, I got angry. I was like, really? Like, are you serious? They took more money than they needed to out of my pocket. And what could I have done during the year with that money? But the thing about the people who are, you know, broke friends, they anticipate the tax refund. And so what they do then is that immediately, as soon as they get it, December 31st, they're in the tax office. And they can't wait until they get their refund back, and then they immediately go and do, and I have nothing, you know, but love for them. But it's like, okay, this is the money that you now didn't have throughout the year. You survived without it, so maybe you can take this extra $2,000 and buy, you know, a share of Berkshire Hathaway or something, you know, or I don't know, save it for your education fund. Or take an investing class or a trading class so you can learn how to invest and trade your own money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know from personal experience that I have more passion about my money than someone else.
That's right.
And I would prefer to make sure that if I'm going to hold somebody accountable, I want to hold, because if I give my money to my job, my 401k, and I'm not speaking against doing that, but practical wisdom is there's a person who's managing that 401k, and if they make a bad decision or a mistake, then all happens is I lose money.
Wow.
They still get their paycheck.
That's true. That's
so if I'm going to hold somebody accountable for managing my funds, why would I give it to someone else as a responsibility as opposed to myself learning? YouTube is a great university. Get on YouTube and learn everything you can. Or go to Barnes & Noble or Bookstop or wherever you are and find out what it is I need to know. Warren Buffett is like the third richest man in the world, right? He says that this red book called The Intelligent Investor is by Benjamin Graham is a book that he learned when he was young. I think about, I don't know, he was a professor at Harvard or wherever he was. But The Intelligent Investor is on my next list to read, by the way, by Benjamin Graham. And it's one of those books that he learned investing from. And he started investing when he was like 12 or something. I don't know.
Wow.
And as from that point on, he learned the tricks of the trade. And now the guy is 80 years old, and he's a multi-billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So if that book helped him to learn about trading when he didn't have the knowledge to do so, why shouldn't I get that same book?
And that is my heart desire, to learn about trading. That's always
just learn it and just make your own decisions. And you can start with $100. You can start with $50. You know, that's a nice, easy price point for somebody to save toward and then put your money in the game and then let's see what you have and challenge yourself to grow and to get better because you can.
So what the opposite of what you just said on the rich friends? We can talk about rich friends now.
Well, from the opposite of the tax thing about the tax refund,
yes.
The opposite of that would be for the rich friend, he knows or she knows every or learns every tax angle they can. For instance, if you are a person who starts a company, you can actually lease a vehicle, and those payments that you're paying for that vehicle, you can use as a tax write-off on your tax returns.
Somebody wanted to know, what's the name
Rich Friends, Broke Friends is the name of the book.
No,
oh. Well, first you want to get Rich Friends, Broke Friends. Okay. That's what you want to do first.
After you
get that book, then go get The Intelligent Investor. But don't get The Intelligent Investor first. You get my book first because I gave you that knowledge.
Okay. That is true. Now, you know what? I want to touch on that because we do that. We prefer to go to the resource where you got it from instead of reading it from you.
Yeah.
When I say you, I mean in general.
Yeah.
So we work hard and put ourselves in a place in learning and putting it together for you to understand. But you prefer to go to my resource. Where did you get it from? People do that.
Yeah.
And I personally hate that.
But you know what? It's okay.
I hate that.
It's okay because they may not do as well with it because of their characteristics or their constitution. That's
and
it.
I want
like,
y'all to learn from that. Really.
But,
because you're not going to get what... If you're the one that's doing the research, that means the doors are open for you to understand because you're doing the research. That means God is going to download what you need. I could read the same thing you read. I can't get what you need.
You're right. Yeah.
Because it was not my turn. I wasn't given authority to be in that place to get these downloads.
I agree.
And a lot of us really need to stop doing that. We want the resource instead of, it's almost like the food that God allow you to break down for us to understand. We don't want that. We want to go to that. But we're not even going to get nothing.
Right, I think so.
I've met a lot of intelligent, stupid people that way.
Right, yeah.
Very intelligent, stupid. They're very intelligent. They're going to school. They have degrees. They understand this, but they can't even have a decent conversation with you. They can't even hold a healthy relationship.
Right.
That's called stupid, intelligent people.
Right.
I'm sorry.
No, I agree. I agree.
I didn't really say that lie.
Black boys, we called it intelligent dumb.
Well, that was Francis that said that. Intelligent dumb. Yeah.
You know, I do want to share this, and you know I'm gonna take a 30 second testimonial time to say what you just said about that. Here's the revelation the Father gave me. The Father gave me this understanding, and this had to do with my mentor. And I heard something that was 100 years old that was similar to what my mentor said. And the Father said that I had a choice. I had a choice to receive my knowledge from that place or receive my wisdom and understanding, my information and my training directly from my mentor. He explained to me the difference between the two. Even though the information may appear to be the same and similar, I can gain whatever I'm going to gain. But the key ingredient was coming from my mentor. I couldn't get that from a book. What the Father had for me as a download was going to come directly through you.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to get it from another source. I don't care if the teaching sounded identical. He began to reveal to me that there is a key ingredient for my personality, for my character, that would shape and develop me. And he said, why would you want a mentor that you can't touch when I've given you one that you can?
Yeah.
That was the wisdom that I gained from that. So I understand if people don't have access, but for those of us that the Father has placed somebody in front of us to be that access point, the beauty for me was that he cared enough for me to give it to you, for you to give me what I can handle.
And for what you said is great because I feel like by you writing this book, I've seen other books about rich friends, broke friends, and other book friends, rich, whatever that is. But I feel like you being in my circle and God gave you that book to write, there's something in there that could be beneficial to me. There's something, just like you said, there's an ingredient in what you wrote because he gave it to you and you are in that place in my circle, not the other people. You understand?
Yeah.
So that's mean you speak in my language. You know exactly what I need to hear. You know how to... The other people that wrote the book of 100 years ago, really, it's 2015, it's a big difference.
Right.
So you getting this download from 2015, I could relate to that because I'm here today, and you're going to be able to say a word that's going to, oh, okay, I get it now. You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
If somebody else can say the exact same word, I'm not going to be able to understand because their language is coming from a different place. A different rim, a different time, a different, you know, mindset. You are in my mindset where I am today. So I have to be able to get your book to understand, for that light to go off. You know, it's just like this, mother used to say that I have to say it to you 20 times before you get it.
Right.
So it's like it's that particular ingredient that's going to knock off that darkness, that ignorance for me to be able to get it. That's the benefit that I think getting your book. I'm going to eat it. That's going to be my meditation time. See, and I understand what you're reading 52 books a year. Me, I'm going to take, like your book, I take a book and I tear it into pieces and it takes me a long time because I want to be able to just eat it suck all the, you know, all the juice out of it because God speaks to me as I, and like your first book, I've read that book while I'm meditating. I read that book like early in the morning, and I'm literally hearing God as I read your book, and it confirmed a lot of stuff. I was like, you didn't even know about my Sweep Your Brain class, and I was reading stuff in your book. I was like, wow, this is really cool. So God knew what he's doing when he downloads certain things to certain people at a certain time. And sometimes we miss it because we're going around God. We're going around and thinking that I could reach over there and get it, and he really put it right in front of your face.
Right.
So I'm actually still really eating your first book. I haven't got to the second. So I'm just really, you have no idea, that book really helped me in meditation. Really does.
Good. I'm glad it did. I'm glad it was beneficial to you.
Mm-hmm.
I have three more coming. So.
Oh, wow. I got to hurry up and catch up.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. But you inspired me that I do need to go ahead and write, as you have been telling me for a long time. So you're inspiring me. I need to catch up with Kevin Coldwell and hold on to his coattail and say, wait, you're going to my three more. I haven't done
I got three more books I'm going to publish this month.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you want to share the title yet, or are you allowed to? Not yet. But don't do it if you're not.
Yeah, one of them. I'll tell you one of them that I'm writing. It's a fiction book. The others have been nonfiction, but this one's going to be a fiction book, and it's going to be titled Hello Fear.
Wow.
And it's talking about fear in so many words and so many different scenarios and how you can overcome that.
We might put that as part of my class.
Yeah.
That's something that everybody needs to say hello to.
Yeah.
We've been hiding fear under the things, but come on in.
Yeah. No, really, it's because it's really focused on you understanding what fear is and not being afraid anymore. And it's a moment where you're able
to use that.
The whole premise of it is that fear is visiting us at increments in our life. And then at some point in your life, you're going to have to be able to go directly to fear and just have a conversation.
With fear. And say, let's talk today.
Let me tell you something. You know,
right. I like that.
So that's a part of it. But it's coming. So just be ready for that.
All audiobooks, correct?
Yes. It's done in three phases. I got you covered.
Okay.
And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make sure that's the first thing I do, because I promised you on the other two, or the three, rather.
Yes.
I got you covered.
Thank you.
I got you covered.
And it's so funny that you say that, because a lot of people, well, myself, you know, thought about being a millionaire, but when you think about it and actually make that kind of money, I sort of get a set of fear of making that kind of money.
Really?
It's like I
want
it.
Why?
I don't know. It's like when I hear it, it's like, you know, when you watch TV and they say, oh, they made $350,000 in a day, I'm like, oh, that's a lot of money. I'm sort of scared to make that kind of money. I don't know why, but
Is it fear
Is
this fear coming from the emotion that maybe you may not be able to maintain it or retain it?
Because it comes with a responsibility.
It does come with a responsibility, I guess, because it's so much at one time. When I hear it, it's like, oh, that's a lot of money. At one time, but then I have thought about, if I did make that kind of money, what kind of investments would I make? So I have to take myself out of that fear and think, what if I had that money, what kind of investments would I make?
Right.
If I made that money, but at first a set of fear will come in.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of money in one day.
It happens. See, it just happens. And I've learned that fear is truly an indicator.
Don't you listen. You don't have to talk about your work. They say, okay, we
you
want to
get
that.
This book that we
got. We talk about rich friend, girlfriend, right?
Yeah, but we'll put that to the side.
You have so much, that's why. You have so much to give.
Yeah, and I'm happy to give
so
it too. I am happy to give it.
That is true, because you give me a lot.
It stopped for our lunch.
I know, right? You give me a lot also. That's why I'm trying to go to lunch.
You get something else on you. Like, what? What are we going to stir up in me? Do we have any more questions? Any more statements? Any more questions online? Periscope? Well, this is good. This has been a really good discussion.
Yeah.
I appreciate you. I appreciate
you as
all
well.
Your books and all your hard work and all your paperness and all.
Yes.
And you staying grounded as you become that millionaire. I like that. You're staying very grounded.
Thank you.
And so I'm going to continue to hold on to your coattail so we both can stay grounded together.
Yeah, we will.
So we could have a lunch date in Paris or in Dubai.
Hey, I want to do that.
Okay.
Or Bora Bora. That's what I want.
And we're going to Periscope to let you know it happened. So guess where we are?
Right.
In Dubai or Paris.
And say, you should be here, right?
Okay, exactly. So it's two people I have to take to lunch in Dubai. You and Apostle Burgess for his birthday.
All right.
So we're
let's
gonna
go. Let's go celebrate.
Paris, so guess where we are? We are in Dubai. So I'm very grateful. I thank you for everyone that have joined us in Periscope and Radio Blog and discussion and the live session. This has been really good. You know, this is Uncle Kevin.
Yes,
to us. Thank you, Uncle Kevin. So I really appreciate and I appreciate you so much for sharing your time with us.
Thank you.
And anybody, 5 minutes left. If anybody wants the book, please go on Facebook or Amazon.
Go to
Amazon.com. You can go to Amazon.com and you can purchase all three books from Amazon.com. And for those of us who are Audible junkies, we will continue to, as a matter of fact, let me just put Uncle Pastor Kevin on blast. Everybody, please send him a message and remind him to please put your audio books, put your books in audio. And we know that if he does the audio himself, he gets paid for that, not someone else. So it's reinvesting in thyself, Uncle Pastor Kevin.
It is.
Yes, it is. You will be reinvesting back into thyself. And I want to share something. I was sitting here thinking about something you did, and I just realized that a few months ago you encouraged us to read 15 books by 15 billionaires. And I was sitting there thinking, how humble is that? You never said, read my book. You promoted other people, and you promoted other people who already had. And I'm thinking to myself, now that's something I would like to reap what I just sowed.
Yeah,
I like that.
That's the order. You're right.
That's the way to do it, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So please purchase all three books. Visit your website, which is the Kevin Caldwell.
Not A.
Not A. But the. Not one of them, but the Kevin Caldwell. Because you, as a man, I think you speak into the lives of young men. My son didn't speak highly of a lot of men, but he spoke highly of you. He not only liked the way you dressed, but he liked the way you taught him.
Wow.
And you talked to him as a young man who's now married.
Wow.
By Dr. Just Like Herself. Yes. He's married with a child on the way, and I wanted to tell you thank you for the time that he was with us in ministry, that you spoke into his life, and I will encourage him to get all three books, too.
Thank you.
That's right. That's going to be a great Hanukkah gift for anybody.
Yeah.
Stop giving people gifts that they cannot use, and I think this will be a great Hanukkah gift. So, as a matter of fact, we're going to add that as part of our Hanukkah party. We're going to add your book as part of our Hanukkah party.
Yes. We want to encourage them to invest in themselves, pay themselves first by registering for your Sweep Your Brain class.
Yes.
Register for it because you will invest in yourself and begin to detox. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing when you detox. We think about detoxing the body, but what about our brain? Register for the online classes.
Wouldn't
because
be
they
perfect?
Are available. It is.
For them to detox their brain in October and get ready for Pastor Kevin book, because you can't read unless you detox.
Oh,
you know, you have to detox to be able to obtain the information.
Make room so we can speak. I like
exactly.
that.
Exactly. So get rid of the old mindset.
Yes.
Get rid of the old program out of your mind to be able to receive the new program and to think rich, to be rich, to act rich, and to have rich friends like I do.
Got
to
be talking. Love it. Thank you, Pastor Kevin. Mr. Caldwell, life coach, phenomenal professional speaker, motivator. You are awesome, and we want to thank you for your friendship and the value you have added to our mentor, because she has taught us through the two of you how to have a healthy and a positive friendship, even when you disagree. So with that being said, we want to thank you not only for your contribution to us in ministry, your contribution to us in our personal life, and your contribution in showing us what a healthy friendship looks like. Dr. Josue, we got 2 minutes.
May Adonai keep you and safeguard you. May Adonai shine his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Yeshua's name, have a great night. And we send you love, and we send you all 3 books, that you will get all 3 books. And send us testimonies, what the books have done for you, what you obtained from the books. All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
You've tuned in to the best
Blog Talk Radio show
with Thomas Josue.